Welcome to Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
For those of us that have been in church for a while, we're familiar with what Good Friday is all about. And we know that this is the day that Jesus died on the cross. It is the day that Christ was crucified. Hard to believe that we would call this day good. What could possibly be good about the day that Jesus died? Why would we call this day Good Friday? This is a question we probably have all thought about and we've wondered at some point. So let's talk a little bit about this day and maybe we can figure out what is good about it. What is good about Good Friday? Now we know that this is the day that represents Jesus leaving the earth in death. And although we struggle with calling it a day that is good, we know the eventual outcome. But imagine how the followers of Jesus, how the disciples may have felt as they watched the life drift from his body. They also were not thinking that this day was good. In fact, Jesus repeatedly warned them that this day was coming. And despite that fact, despite the fact that Jesus told them three times that this day would come, they seemed to not be able to understand why was this happening. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we read about the first time that Jesus told them that this would happen. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter even tries to argue with Jesus that this is going to happen. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Rebuking means short disapproval or criticism. So Peter is not only upset that Jesus said this, he's criticizing Jesus for even implying that this was going to happen. Clearly, Peter couldn't comprehend that this could happen to his Lord. It made no sense to Peter, so he just put it out of his head and didn't even remember that Jesus said that. And then in Mark chapter 9, we read about the second time that Jesus predicted his death. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." And if twice was not enough, then we read in Luke that Jesus told them a third time that this was going to happen. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." So they clearly heard this plan from Jesus multiple times. Jesus said this to them over and over so they would know what was going to happen and be prepared. But even though Jesus said it, they did not hear him. They blocked it out of their minds, much in the same way that we block out what God is saying to us when it doesn't agree with what we want, right? We hear bad news, but we put it out of our minds. Many of us try to ignore it as long as we can, as if blocking it out and ignoring it might prevent it from actually happening. I remember when I went with my friend Carol to her first doctor appointment after she'd been diagnosed with cancer. The doctor had such dismal news. Her cancer was barely treatable and definitely terminal. She didn't have much time at all left, the doctor told her. I was devastated, and I was wondering how was I going to support her as she would be processing such bad news. And as we were leaving the office, and I'm trying to control my tears because of how awful the news was, she looked at me and said, "That wasn't so bad, was it?" And it wasn't in the frame of, "Hey, let's look at the bright side." She clearly had no idea, no recognition of what the doctor had said. The words he had said were clear, but she didn't hear them because she didn't want to. Her mind just wasn't ready to process such depressing news. And in that same manner, no matter what words Jesus said, no matter how many times, no matter how many different ways he said it, the disciples could not comprehend that their Messiah, their Savior, their Lord was going to leave them, especially by dying at the hands of others. I mean, after all, they knew Jesus could perform miracles, so surely he'd be able to save himself if someone came after him. Surely Jesus could help them all escape if anyone was going to try to kill him or any of them. There was no way they could believe that Jesus was actually going to be killed. Even despite knowing the scriptures in the Old Testament referred to this outcome many times. Scriptures they had studied and they had heard often growing up. Like in Isaiah 53, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. He took up our pain, he bore our suffering, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And then in Psalm 22, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." Exactly what was happening this very day. And even in Zechariah, "They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves a firstborn son." They knew scripture. They knew that scripture not only predicted the birth of Jesus, but also his death. And yet, no matter how many times Jesus told them this would happen, no matter how many times they'd been taught this in scriptures, they just could not believe this could happen. So when Jesus was arrested, they watched in disbelief. And what was worse, they left him. They ran away and abandoned him. Maybe it was the fear of being arrested themselves. Maybe it was self-preservation. Or maybe it was just the need to run away from what they did not want to see. Their king was being taken away, and they did not return to town to see what was going to happen to him. We're never told that they returned to see the outcome of the arrest of Jesus. All we know is from that point, they scattered. Even Peter, who did follow Jesus after they arrested him, he's not even named as being at the crucifixion. So we assume that he also ran away, probably in shame for having denied that he knew him. Also, just as Jesus had predicted, the only disciple that is named as being present at the crucifixion was John. Everyone else left, unable to watch, avoiding those horrible events that were about to transpire. And sometimes we do that too. When we don't want to deal with something, we avoid it. How often have we sent a call to voicemail because we didn't want to talk to that person, or left an email sitting in our inbox because it was difficult to answer? We hide our eyes to prevent us from seeing something bad, something scary, something sad. Fear can lead to that avoidance, to running away and to hiding. So as we begin to talk about what happened on this Good Friday, this day that Jesus was arrested, beaten, and crucified, we're now going to hear about some really tough things. Things we may not have realized, at least to this level. And on the surface, yes, we've heard this story. We've read about the crucifixion. We know Jesus suffered a terrible thing. But have we thought about the true reality of what happened this day? All of us have been in physical pain at some point in our lives, at least to some level. Maybe you've broken a bone, or you had a cut that required stitches, or you've been through cancer. Maybe you've been in a car accident, or fallen down stairs, or had back issues. We've all experienced physical pain from something, whether a lot of pain or a little bit of pain, but we've all felt it. But none of us, no matter how much pain we've experienced, can imagine the level and the amount of physical pain that Jesus suffered that day. First, he was flogged. And flogging is a form of whipping someone. And that whip that was used to flog a person would have been made with these iron balls attached at the end. Sharp metal weights that would have caused not just horrible bruising as the person was being whipped, but cuts all over the skin. Deep cuts that would have reached all the way to muscle. And then the crown of thorns was placed on his head. We've read this. We've even seen an image of this. But these thorns were not like those rose thorn bushes we know do hurt, but they were likely from the date palm. Thick, hard spikes that even contained toxins that would have only added to his pain. And after that, Jesus was forced to carry the cross that would soon have his body attached. This cross would have weighed over 100 pounds, and he had to drag it on his shoulders and his back uphill. It's no wonder that he fell many times. The soldiers had to have someone help him carry it. And then the nails. Those nails. Iron spikes about 5 to 7 inches long, nailed into, driven into his wrists and his feet. For those that have hit a finger when hammering, to think about those long nails driven into your body. Beyond hard to imagine. And then, after that, the cross was hoisted up, causing not just the agonizing, excruciating, and tormenting pain, but now also suffocation. Crucifixion causes suffocation from the angle the person would have been in. Jesus would have only been able to take short, labored breaths. And as he did, he would feel that pain from those open wounds rubbing against the wood. Crucifixion is considered quite possibly the most painful way to die ever created by humans. The word excruciating is derived from crucifixion. That excruciating pain is a form of slow suffering. Some people could live for days on the cross in that excruciating pain, but luckily, it's believed that Jesus only lived for 6 hours. It's overwhelming to think that Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, that our friend, would have endured such pain. And now that you're thinking about this, now that you can imagine what Jesus really went through, it's even harder and impossible to believe that we would call this day good. What could possibly be good about this type of death? This incredible, painful death. Why would we call this day Good Friday? Why would we name such a dark day good? Because no matter how dark this day is, no matter how dark your life is, no matter how dark things get for you in the future, because no matter how much pain you're experiencing now, no matter how much pain you may one day feel, no matter how much hurt that you've had in the past, no matter how much hurt you may one day feel, no matter how bad things are for you, no matter how hopeless things feel, no matter how alone you feel, no matter how dark this world or your life gets, we never forget that Sunday is coming. Because without Friday, you can't have Sunday. Sunday is coming, and that is good.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.